It's hour two of the 9 to noon show on Highland Radio. And thank you very much once again to our panel. We had Emma McGrath, we had Hugh Friel, and we had Brendan Byrne, three great panellists. And that's indeed echoed by some of the comments. Doreen says, great panel today. Good morning as well to Gráinne and Audrey, both of whom are watching us online. A few of your comments before we go to the bingo numbers. Quarter says, before students go into accommodation, they should take photos to show the accommodation before they move in, and an after photo so that they can get their deposit back. That's a very good point, actually. Caller says, I know a lot of people who bought mobile homes and built walls around them without planning permission. It seems a very cheap way to go forward. Indeed, it's an interesting one. Caller says, Letterkenny Hospital will lose every service that it ever had. We'll all be going to Galway for operations in the near future. A joke of a health service. Caller says, hi, sitting waiting on the Buncrana bus from Letterkenny since 9:15, still not here. This is what it's like all the time, as services can't be depended on. All this talk about improved services for Donegal is just a joke. There are difficulties getting a bus on time. How can they sort out a health service? Now, we had a call yesterday about a person who was anxious to point out that there was a reference to Coldplay tickets on sale on their Facebook page, and they were iffy about it. And we said at the time that if it looks like a scam and smells like a scam, then it's very possibly a scam. We've had a call saying, look, my Facebook page has been hacked. It's a business page and I don't know what to do. I am not selling Coldplay tickets and my page has been... Now, technically speaking, in many of these cases, it's not that the page has been hacked. What's actually happened is the page has been cloned. And effectively what someone's done is they've, for want of a better phrase, they've stolen your identity, set up a new account using your name, potentially your photograph, and effectively taking your friends list. And then people are looking at this and they think it's coming from you when in fact it's not. It happened to me earlier this year, actually. Someone contacted me saying, you know, what are you doing selling stuff? And I said, I'm not selling stuff. They said, well, according to... And now we recognised it for what it was immediately, and we got it reported and dealt with and so on. But look, if you see something on Facebook that someone appears to be selling Facebook Coldplay tickets, if it's someone you know, make direct contact with them. Direct contact, don't do it through Messenger or through the Facebook page itself. If it's someone you don't know, treat with extreme caution. Nice little message here. Caller says, want to say thank you so much to all at Highland Radio, Yvonne from Vision Ireland, and Declan and his staff at the Cope in Falcarra for making Wednesday such a special day for Michael for his presentation. And well done to all. We were talking about the eye injection that people have to travel to Sligo for, and a lot of people are availing of that service. Caller says, my mother of 97 years has to travel to Sligo every so often for injections in the eyes, and this is an injection for advanced macular degeneration, which is a condition that's more prevalent in older people. So by its very nature, it's older people who are actually having to make this journey down to Sligo. Now, the caller says, I travel to Sligo for the macular degeneration injection. I've been going down for 4 years. Letterkenny has an updated department and there is no reason why they can't do the injection. I worked in the hospital for 40 years. In the 60s, consultants from Galway or Dublin would come down and perform some services in Letterkenny. This procedure is done on a trolley. You don't need a theatre. There are 16,000 people from Donegal getting this job done in Sligo. That's 32,000 travelling to Sligo frequently because you're not allowed to drive after you've had the procedure done. So if you're on your own, you have to use public transport. And if you are going to be going in a car, you have to have someone with you because you can't drive after having this procedure. And I know in the past, this idea of people coming up from Dublin or Galway or Sligo to do procedures in Letterkenny, I mean, it's happened over the years, and we hear this discussed time and time again. Would the consultant or would a senior registrar or a senior practitioner come up from Sligo or come up from Galway to Letterkenny one day a week, one day a fortnight or whatever, and do procedures here? Because I am aware of a situation where someone is going to Galway and they have a low-grade prostate cancer. They're going to Galway once or twice a year for appointments. Very often they're going for an assessment of blood results, or they're going for an MRI, or they're going for a biopsy. And there is no reason why that shouldn't be done in Letterkenny. In fact, when you walk in the front door of Letterkenny University Hospital, there is a urology right to your right as you're walking in. You'll see one of the prefab buildings that's there just to the right of the entrance, and it's marked urology, but they just don't have the staff to run the service in Letterkenny. And there is no reason why people should be going down. And the way the rapid access clinic works in Galway is appointments are on a Friday morning between 9 and 11. So the latest possible appointment you're going to get is about 10:45 to 11. So you either drive down at an unearthly hour or you drive down the night before and stay, and that imposes an economic cost. And it's an issue. And the other thing is this. I mean, you look at Sligo, you look at Galway. We know how busy those hospitals are. There is no doubt in my mind that if we could take all the Donegal people out of Sligo University Hospital, macular degeneration injections, or take all the Donegal people out of the rapid access clinic in Galway, I'm sure there are plenty of people in Sligo that need that injection. There are plenty of people in Leitrim, plenty of people in North Roscommon. There are plenty of people in Galway who need to access the rapid access clinic. So it isn't as though if you have a waiting room which is a third full of people from Donegal, if you take the people from Donegal out of it and give them the service in their own local hospital in Letterkenny, then you have a situation where you can get a third more people off the waiting list in Galway. So if you can get more practitioners, get more services across the local areas, it's a win-win situation for everybody. The funeral of Nell McCaverty is taking place at Long Tower in Derry at 12:30 today. And I couldn't help but smile when I saw the front page of the Derry Journal this morning. It was a lovely juxtaposition because the main headline on the front page was Nell McCaverty has left a huge legacy. And then just to the right, along the side, where they're previewing what's happening inside the paper, it said, page 4, Derry Pride Festival. And I couldn't help think, you know, how much did Nell McCaverty's contribution to the social development of this country over the years lead to the fact that Derry had a Pride Festival? I just thought it was a lovely recognition, as it were, of Nell's contribution to one of many contributions to social life in this country. Just a note in from Raymond, who said, and we had Hugh Friel as one of our panellists in the first hour. Raymond says, the Travellers have won huge advantage over the domestic Irish community. The Travellers have maintained their own language under all types of terrible duress, and they did not submit to the brutal whims of colonialism. Whatever you might wrongly say about the Travellers, you must give full credit to them for maintaining their language as a living language. And that's a very interesting point indeed. Now, we were discussing the residential zoned land tax earlier on in the programme and the perception in some quarters that effectively this tax is necessary because there are developers who are selfishly holding onto land in a bid to jack up the prices and increase their profits. Many developers will tell you the reality is very, very different. We're joined online by Desi McFeely, who's a property developer in the Letterkenny area. Desi, good morning to you.
Morning.
Desi, from your point of view, this isn't just a matter of you holding on to land, making huge profits, and then seeing the land developed. There's an awful lot involved in the development process that doesn't seem to be recognised here, you say.
Yeah, and you need facts to back up what you say. And to that end, I'll just put you in the picture here. I have a site in the Old Town Letterkenny Town Centre, which was zoned and had planning for 14 houses and 3 apartments. The council have now dezoned it. They've also dezoned a site right next to it that had 24 houses. They've dezoned that as well. So where's the answer to all that? But this thing, it's like all that the government does and orders people to do, it's about gathering money so as the leaders of the government can waste it. You know, and I see a lot of despair in young people around Letterkenny. They can't afford to get houses. They can't afford to get on the property ladder. And the houses have gone up so much, and developers are being blamed for being greedy. Let me tell you this here. Irish Water have added 30,000 per house to the cost of a house since he first came into being. How do you deal with that? There's 11 different taxes from you buy a piece of land until you hand over the keys. And the amount of roadblocks in front of developers, and all, any developer will tell you, don't take my word, any developer will tell you, the amount of roadblocks from you start by your piece of land to trying to deal with Donegal County Council, which is impossible. It's nigh impossible to deal with the getting planning. When you get planning, the cost of everything has gone through the roof. Irish Water, people have to live. People have to have a decent week's wages. And it's continually going up. I think there's another rise due next week. And rightly so, people have to have enough money to live. But it's the roadblock. I have tried for 7 days to get in touch with the Minister for Housing. 7 days, no one to answer the phone. And he's sitting in Dublin, dripping of jewellery, and does not care one iota about what's happening in Donegal. And there are developers out there who want to build houses. But where does the finance come from? Unless you have your own money, you aren't going to get anything from the banks. You can borrow from loan sharks up to 18% in Dublin. So how do you manage that? But the people in charge need to be made redundant because they aren't fit for purpose. And people are dependent on getting houses. I just love building houses for people, social housing, that are unable to get on the property ladder. I have one site to finish in Letterkenny, and that's the end of it for social housing. You just the mental strength that you need to get around the people you have to deal with, you just can't do it.
We know there have been discussions between Donegal County Council and the number of developers in a number of areas of Donegal which have stalled because there have been issues over testing for defective blocks and things like that, and it hasn't been possible for the council and the developer to come to an agreement. Is there any way of streamlining these discussions and coming up with a set of standard procedures that will hold in every case?
Of course they are, if you get the correct people in charge. Let me tell you this here, and this isn't easy to take. I built 18 houses handed over to Clwyd, who are quite easy to work with, last October. On the 11th hour, an hour testing for blocks had been done 12 months previously, sat with the council engineers, sat with Clwyd engineers who were happy with it. On the last day, the county manager came along.
Now, I'm going to stop you there, Desi. I don't want to speak about any individuals that aren't here. I mean, we don't know the full story. I don't want to talk about any individual people and what your relationship with any individual person might be. Right. We can talk about the system, but we can't talk about individuals.
Fine. But just let me make a point there, a valid point. When you leave an opening for somebody to hide behind, they'll avail of that opportunity. Nobody should be allowed to hide behind anything. There are people who need houses out there. There are developers willing to... and have the land and have their machinery and all from years ago to go and do and build the houses. But they're prevented from doing that. If you only had to go through what developers have to go through to try and get onto a building site. You see, anyone will tell you the exact same thing that I'm telling you. It's just impossible. And the amount of roadblocks and the amount of regulations, by the way, instead of the housing associations in the six counties, from the minute they start dealing with you, they'll put a clerk of works on the site to oversee the works, which is the correct thing to do. It's not done here in the south. And therefore, you can have a different standards.
We have spoken in the past to a developer who actually has said from now on they're going to do all their work in Northern Ireland because they can't work under the conditions of the regulations that persist in the Republic. I mean, is that a road you're looking at going down as well?
Well, I won't be building in the six counties. But anyway, the thing about this here is, and I look to young people, I just love seeing young people happy. And young people are unhappy. And, you know, having talked to young people, having been in their company and that, it's just nigh impossible. And they're looking to see, can they get to America or Australia? Now, a house in Letterkenny, there's roughly 320,000 to 330,000. There's 40,000 of VAT in that. Went to Derry or Strabane, there's no VAT. Now, where's that money been wasted? You see, the government, and I'm not naming names, they'll squander that money, sailing all around the country. And by the government, I saw, you know, one of them lying sleeping at 11 o'clock in the day, and we're paying 4,000 a week for that. But if a young person in the six counties wants to build a house on the land owned by their parents, they can do that. And when they build that house, they're entitled to, and they do that, they claim the VAT off that house individually. And that VAT may well help to get them a kitchen, get them a car. I bought 18 houses, handed them over on the 18th of October in Letterkenny, and I'd invite anyone that wants to come and look at those houses and talk to the people that are living in them houses. Within 14 days, I had to pay 528,000 of VAT to the government. Why could that VAT not have been taken off the price of the houses and let the young people benefit from it?
And the point you're making is you've had to pass that VAT on to those who purchased. I have paid
722,000 of taxes to the government. Why is that? I'll tell you why. These guys in Dublin who are answerable to no one, the only people I could compare them to is the Taliban. And Irish Water, 7,000, between 6,000 and 7,000 per house, and they're answerable to no one. So much for the legacy Fine Gael have left us.
Well, they're answerable to the government, who are answerable to us, theoretically.
And listen, and that's a very good point. The government are answerable to no one. They do what they want, and they do not care about anyone. And you know what? There is no alternative. That's the worst scenario that we're now in. There is no scenario, and this we're going to be left with the same again, all the promises and everything coming up to the election. But the simple thing to the housing crisis, and this is what I'm concerned with, there are a number of developers who are now retired. You know, what's the point in putting a school teacher on to be a minister for health? You know, there are people in construction who have now retired. They're the people that should be in charge of housing, not someone sitting in Lifford pushing the piano who haven't a clue what they're doing.
No, and that's exactly it. Yeah. Desi, it's an interesting perspective, and thanks indeed for speaking to us this morning. Look, it's always good to get that perspective because, as we said earlier, there is a perception in the wider public that developers are just raking in money and they're sitting on big tracts of land hoping to make even more profit. From what you're telling us, the reality is very, 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 very different, and it's important to hear that. So, Desi, thank you very much indeed.
Just one further thing, and that is a perception out there about developers. Now, unless a developer has his own money, now, if you're going into a site, 40, 50 houses, well, you need 15 million. How many developers are 15 million? If you go on to the banks, especially, I suppose I'm not able to name the banks.
No, you're not able to name the banks.
The banks will not lend money for, one bank in particular, that were given 32 billion in the downturn. They will not lend 1 cent for construction. So what do? If you don't have the money, do you borrow between 15% and 8%, 18% from sharks in Dublin? The bank doesn't give it to you if you don't have it yourself. And then how do you provide houses? The younger people of this country and the elderly people should be forced in everyone's mind. And if we lose what the future is, and you know there's upwards of 400,000 people that have left Ireland in the last 15 years, forced out of Ireland by the most corrupt government in Western Europe. Thanks very much for your time.
Desi, thank you very much indeed. That's Desi McPhailer there, who's a property developer in the Letterkenny area. And he said he's been trying to contact the housing minister and get a conversation with Dara O'Brien, but he's tried 3 separate times this week. And so far, he says, nobody has answered the phone. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. You can get your comments into us on 086-6025000. That'll get through on our text service or indeed on WhatsApp as well. You can call 074-9125000, 003-5374-9125000 if you're outside of the dialing area. Just a few comments before we move on. There was a programme on RTE that said Ireland is the only population in Europe that is rising. We have to ask why this is. Everywhere else in Europe's population is allegedly declining. Is this true? I don't know. I didn't see that programme. If anyone can enlighten us, please do. Caller says, I have a son who is 16. Playing football, he hurt his knee and was roaring in pain. He was in Letterkenny Hospital at 9:30 p.m. He asked at 3 a.m. if he would be seen. There were 17 people in front of him, so he left. He wasn't even given a painkiller. Went to Elton McGavin the next day at 10 a.m. He was seen to and home by 12. He was in and out in Derry in 2 hours. Another caller says, I'm fed up of hearing about discrimination against travellers. They have the same opportunities that everyone else has, and most of their issues are a consequence of the life they choose to live. On the programme yesterday, we had Councillor Terry Crossan speaking about dangerous driving in Muff the night before. Well, a caller says, this is not an isolated incident. This carry-on has been going on in Muff for years. Drivers have been driving down to the end of the housing estate, doing donuts for years. It's not a new phase. This is ongoing. And another caller says, the only way to stop this carry-on is to introduce the ramps that are in Main Street in Newton, or like the one on the border at Killay. Moving on now to a Heritage Week event that is taking place on this coming Saturday and Sunday, the 24th and 25th. The Clonmany Genealogy and Heritage Group are hosting an event entitled Cures, Remedies and Old Wives' Tales. Now, Desi McCallion is a local historian and folklorist, and he joins us on the line. Desi, good morning. Desi, this is a very interesting one because all areas will have the folklore, all areas will have the remedies and the little home cures, and you've been looking into what the home cures and remedies would have been around Inishowen.
Oh yes, can say first of all that being Heritage Week, we have small groups such as Clonmany Genealogy Heritage Group and others, indeed, are putting on these shows, if you like, and. Yeah, for people who are interested, should get out there and get to meet the people who are doing this type of work. I myself, I'm doing the cures and remedies, and it is a fascinating subject, Donald.
Tell us some of the cures that would have been out there, because we've all heard the old wives' tales, as they would have been called, and I'm sure you've picked up quite a few over the course of your own research.
Yes, and I'm of an age that I've actually experienced some of the older cures as well, but there is that has to be said. Now there is some awful sounding cures, but I believe that what we have in these old cures, possibly they're just the remnants of a cure. We remember aspects of a cure. We have long forgotten the old medicines. For example, day-to-day, everyday complaints would have been, for example, a toothache. And I remember even as a young boy having an awful toothache. I must have been about 10 years of age, 11 years of age. And this old guy said, "What's wrong?" I told him a toothache. He says, "Come here." And he gave me out of his pocket, he took a plug of Condor tobacco, I remember, a small little piece of it, chewed that, and put it into the hole in the tooth. Do you know this? The toothache went away. After a while, so did the tooth, but I didn't care. The pain had gone.
I'm not sure medical professionals in the 21st century would be recommending sticking tobacco into your teeth now as a cure, to be honest.
No, I wouldn't advise that. I have to say that this old gentleman, his mouth would have looked like a badly kept graveyard, to be honest, but he'd never had any toothache.
Yeah. Other ones you would have come across,
did he? That's one of them.
Yeah.
Now, what always fascinated me more was where did the cures go? And looking through the old newspaper ads from the 1950s, you see where the old cures have gone, because the papers are just littered with remedies. For example, I'm looking at one, Aspros, and the amount of stuff that an Aspro could cure, everything from sleeplessness to drowsiness. Can I just read some of the things out to you?
Absolutely.
And this is from 1950, the Derry Journal, believe it or not. Sleeplessness, nerves, hot weather, discomfort, sudden chills, rheumatic aches. And it just goes on and on. So that was Aspro. And those Aspros at threepence a packet, that was replacing the old cures that your local herbalist would have been making up from various plants on the roadside.
Well, I remember Aspro well from my childhood. I mean, you know, it was certainly around when I was younger. Haven't seen it for a while, mind you.
Yeah, but during the 50s and 60s, I remember it must have been a changeover. Do you remember? Okay, we started off with the cure for the with the tobacco.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and I remember a house going in with a young lad had the same complaint, and the granny was giving him an Aspro, but what did they do with it? He crunched it into the affected tooth. So there you had the remnants of the old cure and the new cure coming in.
Yeah.
So
So, yeah, it is an interesting subject, and it just forms one of the, when we, yeah. every year we get together and we have these heritage weekends. Thankfully, the genealogy group yeah. in Kilmarnock sort of put on the old cures and remedies. So, it's just another aspect. It's still heritage, and we must visit it and explore it.
So the exhibition is taking place over this coming weekend. You'll be speaking about the cures, remedies and old wives' tales, other discussions on genealogy and other elements of the local history as well. It's all part of Heritage Week, and if people want to know more, they can make contact Clonmany Genealogy Group at gmail.com.
That's it, Donald. Now, I would advise people to come along, and, you know, and it's not about listening to one speaker. We want people to come with their cures as well, you know, and share them out as well, because we are losing aspects of our heritage due to people believing wrongly that it's just there's no interest in it. There is a great interest yeah. in heritage.
Okie doke. Desi, we wish you all the best with it, and may it be a huge success. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Donald.
Thank you, Desi. And that's all taking place this coming weekend at the Market House in Clonmany. Now we're going to stay in Inishowen, and we're joined online by Ruth Garvey-Williams, who's a trustee of the Exchange in Inishowen. And the Exchange is now operating the Buncrana Community Food Pantry, an important initiative. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Donal. Lovely to be with you.
Thank you very much indeed. Great to speak to you. Now, this is different to a food bank, but it is one way of tackling the massive problem of food waste. Tell us how the food pantry works.
Absolutely. Well, up to recently, we were running a food bank, but it was so difficult to sustain. And we've been looking for a long while over at Clonmany, at the Clonmany Food Pantry, and they're phenomenal, a really, really great model that they run. So they take food waste from supermarkets and through Food Cloud, a national charity, and they redistribute it through their members through the pantry. And we thought this is an amazing way of actually tackling the massive problem of food waste, but also making sure that people can get high-quality food at low prices. And so we had a chat with them and said, could we open up and transition to become a pantry like you?
So people join and pay an annual membership fee?
Yes, that's right. They become members. That helps just pay for the overall cost. They have a lovely, beautiful canvas bag and a card and everything, membership card. And then they come along. We're open 3 days a week. We might open more depending on the demand, but at the moment 3 days a week, and come along. We always recommend before they do the shopping.
Yeah.
And for a fiver, they can fill their bag with whatever they want from the food pantry, and all sorts of things, and often brand name, high quality goods, all sorts of things. We also have bags of potatoes. They can take a bag of potatoes as well as an extra. We have cereals, oats, all sorts of things. Fill the bag for a fiver. And, I mean, I find that I can maybe take three items. I've already spent the fiver, and anything else is a bonus. So yeah. It's fantastic.
And it's good, too, that a lot of people who are on a tight budget may well find themselves able to make substantial savings once they've laid out their initial €20 a year membership. They can go in there with their bag, and they could find themselves saving a lot on a weekly basis.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there's a variety of stuff, but it's often the store cupboard things, those extra expenses that you're spending out to buy, whether it's a pot of black peppercorns or some herbs and spices and different things, which can actually really add up and can be really expensive to get. But you can get them for next to nothing in the food pantry. It's wonderful.
So where does this take place and what time?
So the Exchange Community Centre is in Buncrana, in Castle Avenue in Buncrana, and our food pantry is out the back. We have a lovely shed out the back in the car park, and we're open 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So we're just getting ready to open up this morning from 11 o'clock till 1 p.m. And so we encourage people to come down and take out a membership and see what's there. There's all sorts of exciting products at the moment, so we'd love to have new members.
So if someone were to arrive this morning in the next hour, they could pay their €20 membership fee, get their bag, and pay their fiver and stock up there and then?
Absolutely, absolutely. We'd encourage people to do that and to find out how it works, you know, to see, look around and see. And it's also means that we're all doing our little part. I don't know about whether you're aware, but food waste is a massive problem in Ireland. Every household wasting hundreds of euros every year because of the food that we throw away. And we can do our little part to actually, for the environment, to benefit and have a more sustainable society.
Mm. It certainly is an interesting one. Ruth Garvey-Williams, trustee of the exchange in Buncrana there. Thanks very much indeed for sharing that with us. And hopefully, I'm sure you'll get a nice burst of new membership now in the next hour or so. And hopefully people will leave very happy. Callers this morning, Donal, I fully agree with your last caller, Desi. We need more ordinary people to speak out about this government, not listening to the people who vote them in. Unfortunately, as your caller said, we have no alternative to vote for in the upcoming election. I'm sure many other candidates and parties will say, hang on a tick, we're over here, vote for us. Caller says, delighted to hear Desi talk on behalf of the contractors. All too often they're accused of being greedy. It's about time someone told the other side of the story. Another caller says, every word that builder said is true. Shame on our so-called housing minister. Government doesn't want to hear the truth. Another caller says, Desi is 100% right. Letterkenny and Donegal are in need of social housing. Not enough is being done to provide it. Another caller says, while Desi has a point, running down the government is an easy option. The government is doing a good job with the set of circumstances that it has. The economy is good. More could be done for defective block homeowners. Yes, the war in Ukraine couldn't have come at a worse time. Simon Harris has made a massive contribution to this country, both in his health portfolio and now as Taoiseach. I'm presently applying for a grant and I'd need a contractor just to fill it out for me. So says the caller. We spoke earlier in the programme, in this hour, to Desi, who's running that talk on cures and old wives' tales in Carndonagh as part of Heritage Week. Caller says, yes, I remember the tobacco for the toothache and the Aspro, so sorry I can't be there on Saturday. Another caller says, yes, I remember my dad doing that with the tobacco. Caller says, hi, that man never said a truer word. I presume that's a reference to Desi. Caller asks, why is Nell McCafferty having the privilege of a Christian funeral service when she spent most of her life publicly opposing the rules of the church who was baptised in? Because it would seem to me, at the risk of sounding trite, and I don't wish to sound trite, the whole message of Christianity is a message of forgiveness, inclusivity and welcome. And it seems to me that that is what is being brought to bear in this instance. Caller says, well done to my daughter, Shauna Doherty, in Molly Glenties. Well done on your results today from a very proud mum. Now, let's go to the phone. Carol Sweetman joins us. Carol is from the Regional Waste Management Planning Office. Carol, a very good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Carol, an important event taking place on tomorrow week, Saturday the 31st, for people who may have hazardous waste lurking around in their sheds or garages or in their homes.
Yes, that's correct. The event is happening, say, next Saturday, the 31st, in Donegal County Council's Letterkenny Recycling Centre from 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And householders are free to bring their hazardous waste that they may have lurking around their kitchens or garages to the event next Saturday.
Now, the sort of items we're talking about would be household chemicals, some personal care products or garden chemicals, paints and so on. Talk us through some of the things you can expect to be accepted on the day.
Okay, so yeah, as you say, it's household items. So like maybe your bleaches, your detergents, your cleaning agents around your house. Within your garage, you may have like kind of garden pesticides, herbicides, paint. What we're looking for is the hazardous paint, like the oil-based paints. I mean, paint thinners, strippers, and then like their aerosol cans and that kind of stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
All the hazardous products would have like hazardous label on them. So if you're unsure whether your product is hazardous or not, take a look at the label and it would have one of the kind of hazardous labels on it.
Now, one thing that you're not accepting, and this does need to be stressed, is medicines and medical equipment.
Yes, that is correct. We're unfortunately not in a position to accept the medicine products, but I suppose the thing is there is common practice to return if you've unused medicine in your house to bring it back to your pharmacy, and it'll be, you know, they should accept that the Department of Health are currently working with the pharmacies to roll out a medicine collection service, and hopefully that service will be widely available in next year. But if you have unused medicine in your house, do go back to the pharmacy where you got it, and in general they should take it back from you.
Automotive products as well, things like used motor oil, petrol, diesel, etc., all accepted?
Yes. Yes, that's all accepted. Friday is not from, we're not accepting any commercial waste. We're not to accept commercial or farm waste. So if you have it in, as you know, part of your household waste, yes, we do accept it.
Under normal circumstances, this is a one-off free provision, but obviously for a charge, this is available at recycling centres across the county.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, there's six recycling centres across Donegal, and they are in a position to accept a number of hazardous waste items, like your aerosols, your batteries, your waste electrical equipment, and that kind of stuff, and your cooking oil. At the moment, they're not in a position to accept all hazardous household hazardous items. So this kind of day helps householders if they have that kind of waste in their house and they wish to get rid of it, like, as I said, your garden chemicals, the paint thinners and strippers and that kind of stuff. So there's more material that can be accepted normally at the recycling centres, but there is quite a range at the moment that can be accepted in Donegal recycling centres.
Is it your belief, Carl, that there's a lot of this sort of material out there that you're going to have a very busy day when people get the impetus from this announcement to have a look in their sheds, look in their garages and so on, and that you could find yourself getting quite a lot brought over?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we would anticipate that there would be quite a lot of waste brought on the day, and I suppose we've previously run these events and there's been a lot of paint waste that's been accepted at these events, and at the moment we are limiting the amount of paint that a customer can bring to 10 tins or 10 cans per customer, because we want to make sure that, you know, anyone who brings paint on the day, that it will be accepted from them, and we're asking people to make sure that, you know, primarily to bring hazardous paint on the day.
Yeah. Carl Sweetman from the Regional Waste Management Planning Office. Listen, thanks very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. The message is out there. People will have heard this, and that facility being made available, as we said, at the Letterkenny Recycling Centre, just off the Business Park Road, and it's on tomorrow week, August 31st, yes, from 8:30 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Carl, thank you.
Great. And can I just add one thing before we
absolutely
go?
Absolutely,
Carl.
Can I
just ask that? Yeah. Okay. As I said previously, there's no commercial or farm waste accepted on the day, but we would ask people when they bring products that they bring them in their original containers with the original labels on them, because we need to know what's being brought on the day. So please ensure that there's an original container with the original label on it.
Carl, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Pleasure. That's Carl Sweetman there, and that's taking place, as we said, at the Recycling Centre in Letterkenny on tomorrow week, which is Saturday, August 31st. Now, I just want to remind you that on Sunday, September 8th, the 9 till noon show will broadcast a very special noon till 2 show from the Irish charity Vintage Club in Greenford in London. And that show coming, as we say, from 12 noon until 2 on Sunday, September the 8th. Greg will be there, as he has been. I think this is about the third or fourth year that Greg's done this, and there's a huge Donegal interest in that particular event. Also remind you that Greg is participating in day 2 of the Ards of the Donegal Camino. It'll be centred on that day in Ards Forest Park on Monday the 2nd of September. That's Monday week. And it's all in aid of Cancer Care West in, well, the office is in Letterkenny, but it provides a service to the whole of Donegal and further afield. And if you can donate to that, please go to idonate.ie. And if you search up Greg as the fundraisers, you'll get to Greg's page on that. If you can't donate online, if you call Highland Radio 07491 25000, one of the team here will be able to help with that payment. And if you can support that, is a very well worthy cause to support.